Come to order. Ann, will you please call the roll?
Chair Atkins?
Here.
Vice Chair Diaz?
Here.
Ranking Member Clark Reed? Representative Baxley?
Here.
Bracey?
Here.
Castodental?
Here.
Eagle?
Here.
Hood?
Here.
Porter?
Here.
Rayburn? Renuart? Stark? Zimmerman?
Here.
We have a quorum.
Thank you. Let the record show that a quorum is present. Welcome to our members and to those of you in the audience. Just a few reminders, please turn your cell phones off. Turn your microphone on before speaking and off after speaking. And please, if you wish to speak, go through the chair. Also, any member of the audience wanting to speak at a committee meeting must fill out an appearance card and provide that to the staff. We have one bill to hear today. House Bill 337 by Representative Frezen. After that, we will be workshopping the middle grades reform language. So, Representative Frezen, you are recognized to explain House Bill 337. I believe there's one amendment to the bill.
There absolutely is. Would you like me to go straight to the amendment first?
Yes, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and it's an honor to finally present in front of your committee. Members, there's one amendment, and it simply changes the word may to shall. That's the amendment.
I'm sorry, can you repeat that?
There's one amendment, and it simply changes the word may to shall.
Okay. All right, clarification. I think it's...
It's the other way around, shall to may.
May.
Okay.
Okay.
Shall to may. I apologize.
All right, shall to may.
My aide apologizes for you for typing
okay.
out the wrong way
so
as well.
So we're clear,
I apologize.
Shall to may.
Shall to may, I apologize.
Right. So, members, are there any questions on this amendment of shall to may?
Shall to me.
So we have a question by Representative Castro-Dentel, followed by a question by Representative Stark. You're recognized.
Thank you, Chair. I'm just so that I'm clear, is that what line is that on the original bill?
It is line 25, ma'am. I'm sorry, through the chair.
Thank you.
Representative Stark, you have a question?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just want to know the reason for the amendment.
You're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. As our staff was analyzing it, and they did kind of a screen of all 67 school districts, we realized that the shall, not all school districts could potentially be able to comply with the shall, so we left it as kind of promotional and certainly what we intend for them to do, but the may allows them some flexibility as well.
Any other questions on the amendment? Do you have any appearance cards on the amendment? Okay, so we have Tanya Cooper. Is she wanting to speak on the amendment? Thank you. And that's it. Members, do we have debate on this amendment? Would you like to close on the amendment?
Wave close.
All right. Members, shall we call the vote?
Chair Atkins?
Yes.
Representative Baxley?
Yes.
Representative Bracey? Castro-Dentel,
yes.
Clark Reed,
yes.
Diaz,
yes.
Eagle, Hood,
yes.
Porter,
yes.
Rayburn,
yes.
Renuart, Stark,
yes.
Zimmerman.
Yes.
The bill passes.
Okay, show the amendment adopted. Representative Frezen, you're now recognized to explain your bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and I'll be brief. Members, this bill deals with the Florida Teacher Classroom Assistance Program that was established in 1997. Last year, I had a similar bill to not only appropriate the proper funds that amount to about $250 a year, but to make sure that they were being dispersed and that teachers were being able to use it on time. Superintendents came to us and asked for some flexibility to actually allow for the funds to be distributed a little bit earlier, which is commonsensical to the extent that a teacher could actually have his or her funds available prior to the school year starting. So that's essentially what this bill does. It allows for the funds to be dispersed as soon as possible, even hopefully before the school year starts. That's the bill.
Thank you. Members, are there questions on the bill? Seeing none, we have an appearance card by Sherry Kroom. Very good. Next, we have Tanya Cooper. Thank you. And then Chris Schoonover. Very good, thank you. Members, do we have debate on the bill as amended? Speaker recognized to close on the
waited
bill.
Waited close, Madam Chair.
Very good. And if you'll call the vote.
Chair Atkins?
Yes.
Representative Baxley?
Yes.
Racy?
Yes.
Castro-Dental?
Yes.
Clark Reed?
Yes.
Diaz?
Yes.
Eagle? Hood?
Yes.
Porter?
Yes.
Rayburn?
Yes.
Renouart? Stark?
Yes.
Zimmerman?
Yes.
Okay, members, by your vote, House Bill 337, as amended, will be reported favorably.
Thank you so much, Madam Chair and members. Thank you for your support.
Very good. All right, members, I'm now going to turn the gavel over to our Vice Chair, Diaz.
You have in your notebook behind the tab, Workshop Middle School Grades, draft language for a proposed committee bill. Representative Atkins will explain the language, and after her explanation, we're going to open it up to questions. Please remember that we are not voting on this language today. It's strictly up for discussion. Representative Atkins, you are recognized. Proceed.
Thank you, Vice Chair. Members, as you recall, during the last session, David Coleman of the College Board appeared at one of our meetings via Skype to discuss high school graduation requirements, and we took that language and information from him, and we passed Senate Bill 1076. If you'll recall, Mr. Coleman strongly recommended that the legislature not act just on high school diplomas, but to also address deficiencies in middle grade student achievement. He explained that middle grade students who enter high school unprepared have only a 1 in 10 chance of graduating. He also stressed the need for middle schools to produce academically literate students that possess analytical reading and writing skills along with a core command of mathematics. And he emphatically stated, if you recall, that we cannot bank kids' futures on miracles happening in high school. Over the summer, with Senate Bill 1076 in place, our staff has researched best practices to help close student achievement gaps and prepare middle school students for the rigors of high school. Starting with our September meeting, our subcommittee has reviewed some of this research, and we've heard presentations from middle school grades experts and practitioners on how to best prepare students for high school and beyond. Some of the most compelling research found that a majority of students at risk of dropping out of high school can be identified as early as sixth grade using what we call early warning indicators. Early warning indicators, according to the researchers, include low attendance, poor behavior, and course failure in English, language arts, or math. The initial research showed that sixth grade students exhibiting any of these indicators only had about a 25% chance of graduating from high school on time. This research has shown that the achievement gap for these students can be significantly bridged prior to grade 9 if the middle school quickly initiates responsive and effective intervention strategies. We've learned about the importance of creating a sense of smallness at the middle school campuses and the advantages of interdisciplinary teaching, in which classroom teachers share a small group of students across multiple subjects to help provide better planning and to make greater connections with students and enhance parent communication and involvement. The middle school principals and district representatives who appeared before our subcommittee explained the important role that industry certifications play in engaging students and preparing them for careers after high school. We've also heard about the crucial role digital and competency-based instruction play in engaging middle schoolers and preparing them for high school, from the use of interactive programs such as Algebra Nation to blending digital instruction into the traditional classroom setting. The Department of Education provided us with data showing that there are many middle grade students dropping out of school in Florida. In addition, nearly 20% of Florida's middle grade students receive in-school or out-of-school suspensions or expulsions. We also know that an average of approximately 8.5% of middle grade students miss 21 or more school days during the school year. Finally, although there's been some improvement, we know that our eighth graders generally score at or below the national averages on the reading and math NAEP assessments. So all of this research combined and the data have formed the basis for the draft included in your meeting packet today. And let me emphasize that this is simply a draft at this portion. So we will be reviewing those points today, and I'm going to encourage you to come and share with me your thoughts and ideas on how we can improve the direction in which we're going. So there's eight provisions of this bill. The draft requires each school, that includes middle grades, to implement an early warning system that uses early warning indicators identified in statute. These indicators include attendance below 90%, course failure in English, language, arts, or math, one or more in-school or out-of-school suspensions, and scoring a level one on a statewide standardized reading or math assessment. Districts are granted flexibility to add additional indicators. Number two, if any two early warning indicators are triggered, the school must convene an early warning team to determine appropriate interventions to help get the student back on track. Students identified through the early warning system are eligible for dropout prevention and intervention programs. The draft requires the Department of Education to provide web-based professional development to districts to help teachers integrate digital instruction into their classrooms. DOE must also provide access to web-based materials on middle grades instructional techniques. School districts must emphasize middle grades best practices in their district-wide professional development systems. The district in-service master plan must describe the training middle grades teacher receive on these best practices. Section 1001.42 in this draft requires any school that includes middle grades to report in its school improvement plan the strategies used by the school to implement middle grades best practices and information relating to school's early warning system. This information must include the intervention strategies employed by the school for students identified through the early warning system. This draft restores language that provides weighted FTE funding to middle schools for industry certifications earned by students. It prohibits the State Board of Education from approving a middle grades course unless the course contains all appropriate curricular content required by the standards. And the draft also extends anti-hazing provisions to cover grades 6 through 8 and revises the definition of hazing. The draft requires school districts to establish policies that prohibit hazing and set consequences for violations. Furthermore, school districts must report incidents of hazing in grades 6 through 12 to DOE. The draft modifies the existing criminal penalties for hazing, which were applicable only to students in grades 9 through 12, by changing the criminal intent standard from intentional or reckless to knew or should have known. So, members, those are the 8 provisions of this draft language, and I would be happy to take any questions.
Members, are there any questions? Representative Zimmerman, you're recognized.
Thank you, Chair. I have one concern, and I know it's not the intent of this bill. That's why I bring it up during this discussion. The 90% absentee, the attendance below 90%, on the high school level, that would include every single student because of the state testing and EOCs that we have. We lose about 35 days per year. And it's the class still goes on. Only a couple of kids leave the class to take these tests. I don't know how that affects middle school, but I think it might just be safe to include in there that this shall not include school function absences. Just the technicality so that 90% isn't including things that are required or mandated.
Representative Zimmerman, you have a question in there?
Do you think that's a good idea?
It's my understanding that districts are not counting those as absences. I mean, the student is at school, so I don't believe that's counted currently in those numbers.
Okay. Representative Clark Reed.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. In the intervention part of this, after the EWS, do you think we want to outline as to who was involved in the intervention? Is it the guidance counselor? You say something about a team. But who is actually on that team?
Chair Atkins, you
recognize? Thank you. Child study teams are already in existence under law.
Follow up?
So I believe that's already.
Representative Clark Reed, recognized.
Thank you. Does that study team include the parents?
Representative Atkins, you recognize?
It doesn't have to, but it's my understanding that parents are contacted.
Follow-up?
Representative Clark Reed, you recognize?
Thank you. I think that there has to be somewhere where we definitely say there has to be parental intervention in that team. So my question to you is, can we add that in?
Chair Atkins, you're recognized.
Thank you. I think that's something that we can add. We can look at some language on that. I'm always a believer in parent rights and the parent's right to be involved. So I want to make sure we're protecting that. But I think it's also important that we understand that we may have some parents that may not be responsive. And so what I don't want to happen is that if the parent is not responsive, then nothing happens.
Oh, no, definitely not.
So I think there's a careful balance that we need to strike there. But I'm happy to work with you on that because, like you, I believe that parent rights must always be protected.
Members, any other questions? Seeing no further questions, I'm going to pass the gavel back to Chair Atkins.
Okay, very good. Well, members, thank you for your input today. Our next meeting is the week of February 3rd. At that meeting, we will be voting on PCB1, which Representative Porter presented last week. We will also take up this middle grades PCB that we reviewed today. In the meantime, if you have any thoughts or comments on how we can improve either of these bills, please do not hesitate to come to me. Again, this is a collaborative effort, and we want to make sure that the work product that we all work towards is our very, very best. In addition to those two PCBs, at the February 3rd meeting, we will also hear and vote on a third proposed committee bill. This proposed committee bill is going to be very simple. Representative Baxley will be presenting this. As we've learned from the presentations given, and even as highlighted in our middle grades reform language, a student's attendance at school is critical to their learning growth. We know that the classroom environment is important to their academic achievement. And so we must properly balance the importance of that attendance with that classroom environment. So accordingly, at our next meeting, we will have a PCB regarding the student code of conduct. This PCB is intended to better align disciplinary action with student behavior. As I mentioned, Representative Baxley will be presenting this PCB. The bill is very straightforward. It is very simple. It's very brief. And so accordingly, we will be bringing that up and voting that out at our February 3rd meeting. So, seeing no further business before the subcommittee, Representative Stark moves that we rise. And without objections, show the motion adopted, and our meeting is adjourned.